integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to talk about being led by the Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Is that for the extra spiritual Christians? Is that something for everyone? Is that something we should be striving for? Obviously, it sounds like a good thing. It's actually a Bible thing. And so let's try to figure it out. There's a lot of people who use these verses in the Bible, but they mean very different things by the concept of being led by the Spirit. Where do we find these words in the Bible? Two places. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay. Now, a lot of people at this point would just quote the verses and drop the microphone and say, there it is. Proof. Done. Don't have to say anything else because I've quoted the verses. So now we can talk about it and talk about our experiences. I mean, if you're a real Christian, you want to be pleasing to the Lord. And so when you hear people say, hey, are you led by the Spirit or are you led by the flesh? You're like, of course, I want to be led by the Spirit. Well, the danger comes when you load these concepts, these words, with unbiblical concepts. So they're Bible words, but we need to make sure that we are giving Bible definitions to these Bible words. So how can we do that and figure it out? Well, let's think about the dangers. I know some people, I've got some Christian friends, and they would say they're led by the Spirit, and they are what I would call very mystical. They have all kinds of ideas about the Spirit telling them to do this or to not do this. And you hear it described in different ways, right? God led me to do this, or I had it in my heart to give a certain gift or to witness to that person. And then the person became a Christian. So I must be led by the Spirit, or I'm just going along and doing my thing. And the Holy Spirit impresses upon my heart a Bible verse. And now I change my plans for the day. I remember as a young Christian, just really thinking, I so earnestly want to please God that if God wants me to get up and go down and do this thing at this time, I'm going to do it. And so I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to be open. I want to be led by the Spirit. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me, to lead me. And was I doing right? Was I doing wrong? It became very confusing and puzzling for me to sort out what was right and what was wrong. Do you remember the book Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby and Claude King? And that's a book that's been out for quite a while. But it represents a way of thinking. It was quite a fad in the early 90s. Some of the quotes, just the way that they would talk about it, you could see you need to wait. These are all quotations right from the book. Wait till God shows us what he is about to do. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal himself. The church sensed something. The church felt led. Here's another quote. When God speaks to you in your quiet time, immediately write down what he said before you forget. Where are you going to write it down? I mean, if it's God speaking to you, should you write it right in the back of your Bible? Maybe right after Revelation? Maybe right after Revelation warned you not to add to the book in any way? Anyway, don't do that. All right. Here's another quote from Experiencing God. As I watch the direction the Spirit is leading me to pray, I begin to get a clear indication of what God is saying to me. One more. God gives you specific guidance in sensing a call. Well, these are all quotations, and there's so many more. Remember Charles Stanley? He's gone on to be with the Lord, but years ago, he wrote a book with this title, How to Listen to God. And here's a quote from that book. If we are to listen to God, we must be quiet and let Him do the talking. Too many of us, when we pray, simply read off a list of requests, get up, and walk off instead of listening to God. We only report our requests to Him. How can God speak to us if we don't take time and listen? Oh, that sounds so good, but it's not good. It's confusing. And I tell you, it results in many sincere brothers and sisters getting into a knot, you know, really puzzled with what God wants them to do day by day. So what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Well, let's actually go and look at these verses that we quoted, because like I said, it only comes up a couple of times in the New Testament. And I want to say there's some definite clues in these verses that indicate what the meaning is. And I'll give you a sneak preview. It's not just this mystical guidance of, you know, do this or don't do that, thus says the Lord. All right, let's start with Romans 8. I read it before, but look at it again. Romans 8, verse 12. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, if you want to be a good interpreter of the Bible, it's really good to be a good reader of the Bible. I know that sounds so obvious, and maybe it sounds like I'm speaking down to you, but I'm not. We just want to be very careful. And the more careful we are, the more details we notice. And the more details we notice, the better we can understand the point. Remember, God's not trying to hide His will from you. He's written it in the book. He just wants us to slow down and carefully read it and live in light of what it says. So one giant word that comes out as you first start reading this verse, Romans 8:14, is that it begins with the word for. For. So Romans 8:14 doesn't just drop onto your coffee mug out of nowhere, out of thin air. It's actually in a contextual flow. And the word for is a word that's telling us it is directly connected to the verse right before it. In fact, it's explaining it and clarifying it and restating it in different words. Well, let's go back to verse 13 and see what it says. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For, now we're into verse 14, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. One charismatic Bible scholar, Gordon Fee, said, the flow of thought is actually easily traced. The introductory for of verse 14 indicates a further elaboration or explanation of the final clause of verse 13, a point that is easy to miss since it is expressed in entirely different language. Fee goes on to note that because verses 15 through 17 expand on the concept of being sons of God, Paul seems to recognize the need to elaborate since he introduced this new metaphor in verse 14 of being led by the Spirit. Okay, are you tracking with me? So we're talking in verse 13 about by the Spirit putting to death the deeds of the body and saying, if that is happening, you will live. The contrast being, if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. So we are fighting for holiness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're doing that, then the Bible says it's a fact. You are led by the Spirit of God. Cranfield, the commentator, said, the daily, hourly putting to death of the schemings and enterprises of the sinful flesh means, by means of the Spirit, is a matter of being led, directed, impelled, controlled by the Spirit. Okay, we're getting some clues. This is helping us to get closer and closer to what the Bible means when it talks about being led by the Spirit, which is going to help us in our daily decisions. We need to take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll continue to look carefully at the Bible to understand and then to apply what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. And you know what's ironic? We talk all day about being led by the Spirit, but many of us really couldn't explain who the Holy Spirit actually is if our lives depended on it. Honestly, it has been so watered down in the church, and that's why we created Drive-By Pneumatology. Yeah, we know pneumatology sounds like something you catch at a hospital, but it just means study of the Spirit. And it's not just another resource that tells you how to get these mystical tingles. I'm talking about real solid teaching on who the Holy Spirit is and what He actually does. Drive-By Pneumatology. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And while we're talking about content like that, have you downloaded Fortis Plus just yet? I know I say it every week. You probably don't think you need another app on your phone, but again, this one's worth it. It's totally free. It's actually free. Not like we're going to give you a free trial and then try to hunt you down for money later. No, it's actually free. Never will you be asked to subscribe and pay money for Fortis Plus. And it's already chock full of hundreds of hours of content, and 7 new pieces of content are added every single day. You can download Fortis Plus right now by going to fortisplus.org. And if you want to stay in the loop with everything we're doing here at Fortis, becoming a Fortis Insider is exactly what will help you do that. So much is going on that it's hard to keep up with without a central messaging system. And that's what being a Fortis Insider does for you. 5 days a week, we're going to send you an email with all of the posts that are being added for that day. Again, 7 new pieces of content added daily. So we'll email you about them when they're loaded. And yes, you guessed it, it's all free. We really like that word around here. And in order to keep doing things like that for free, we need gospel partners just like you. Living in crazy, upside down, tumultuous times where solid biblical teaching about the Spirit and everything else is getting harder to find. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. So would you consider being an ongoing monthly gospel partner? I'm not talking about emptying your bank account and your 401k or writing us into your will. All we're asking is if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt, then pray about it. And you can get any answers to any questions that you might have about what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. It's an investment that will last in eternity. Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to get your questions answered. And now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. Today we are talking about what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. We found that there's only a couple of verses in the Bible, but people make an entire theology of, you know, the Holy Spirit leading them to do this, or inner promptings, or circumstantial ways of making decisions instead of a Bible-based way of making decisions. So what we're trying to do is figure out what these verses actually mean in their context. One of the references we've seen is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And we saw already that that word for connects us back to verse 13 about by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body. So really, this is just explaining what it means to be a person that puts their sins to death. It's passive. The Holy Spirit is the initiator of our salvation. We're working, but He's doing the leading. It's an ongoing activity happening in our lives, but it's just happening there. But being led by the Spirit corresponds directly to putting to death the deeds of the body. Now, in verse 14, it talks about being sons of God if we're led by the Spirit. So in verse 13, it says that you will live. In other words, it is an indication of eternal life. So another way of describing the reality of our situation is that being led by the Spirit is a definition of somebody who has eternal life. So if we flip it around, we would say all sons of God are led by the Spirit, not just the extra spiritual ones striving to pay closer attention during their quiet times to whether God speaks back and then writing it down, like we were instructed to do in some popular books. This is for all Christians. This isn't just for extra spiritual ones. So, okay, Romans 8, 14 is not giving us mystical guidance for decision making. Well, what about Galatians? Because Galatians is the other reference in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Once again, we see the context is very important in our understanding of the verse's meaning. So let's back up to verse 16 of Galatians 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now here's our verse. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, so being led by the Spirit means you're not under the law. Now, if you read the whole book of Galatians, if you're under the law's dominion, that meant you're under the old way of life. You're under sin's power. Basically, you're not a believer. So you receive the Spirit at salvation. You're not a slave of sin anymore. You're not under the law. You're not a slave, but you're a son. This is all parallel to walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Basically saying your life's orientation as a believer is not trying to obey the law in your flesh's ability, but being governed by the Holy Spirit, living according to His power, living in His ways, by the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit Himself inspired. We are, yes, consciously depending on Him and submitting to His will, but it basically just means you're a real Christian. You're not like these Judaizers who were tormenting the Galatians and trying to get them to add the old covenant law to the Christian life. You know, yes, Jesus, but also circumcision, also the rest of the old covenant law. Paul says, no, we are set free from that. We have Christ. That is our salvation. And now the Spirit has moved in and the Spirit is leading us. We are children of God. We are not under the law. It's just a fact. That's what it means to be a Christian. So being led by the Spirit is not something for second level hyper spiritual Christians. It is for all y'all, as we say in the South. It is for all the Christians all the time. All right, So let's then come back to our basic question. Wait, I want to live for God. I want to make decisions the best way that I can. What should I do? Well, let me just tell you, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas here, but this is just a tight summary. If you want to dig into this, there are some wonderful books that have been written about the topic. Kevin DeYoung's book, Just Do Something, is a favorite of mine. Dave Swavely is a guy I went to seminary with. He wrote two great books, one called Decisions, Decisions, and another book called Plan A. That's brand new. It's very brief. It's a great summary of the Bible's teaching on how to make good decisions. There's many other ones as well we could recommend. But let me just give you some thoughts, okay? You want to be pleasing to the Lord. You want to live for His glory. So you've got these decisions to make. What should you do? Should you pray and try to get really quiet and wait and hear what God says? Or should you just make wise decisions? Well, let me tell you this. First of all, it's important for you to remember you are being led by the Spirit all the time. God's providence is always working out His master plan in your life. And let me give you some comfort. You can't mess up the plan. You say, I know you think so, but I have sinned in terrible ways. Listen, God uses even our sins. That doesn't mean we should sin, right? We should strive to obey Him. But He uses even our sins to accomplish His master plan. Let me just prove that real fast. The cross of Jesus. Is there anything more sinful than what they did to Jesus on the cross? No. But is there a greater pentacle of God's perfect plan than what He accomplished at the cross, in spite of the sins that put Jesus there? The answer is no. That is the pinnacle. That is great. God does use even our bad decisions to accomplish His good will. So, point number one to consider, you're always being led by the Spirit. So then, what do? Well, you trust that. You pray. Yes, it's good to pray about these decisions, but you pray in light of the reality that God is leading you. Then next, you do what the Bible commands. The Bible is God's will. How do I know God's will? The Bible tells me God's will. So if you have a clear message from God in the Bible, you do it. Should I kill this person or not? No, you should not, because the Bible says you shall not murder, right? It's pretty clear, right? Don't even hate him in your heart, right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. What else? Okay, if the Bible doesn't clearly give me a direct command, you should seek counsel from your wise friends. They will help you apply the Bible with fresh eyes. Because sometimes the Bible will speak indirectly by way of principle or wisdom. And then after that, then if there's still a choice to be made, you should assume that God gives you freedom to choose what you want to, because God even put your own desires in your heart, right? So let's think about it. Should I get a car or not? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, don't covet. The Bible says, you should be a wise steward of the money that God has given to you. So does this fit into your budget? And then wisdom. You might look for the best deal. You might talk to some friends about what car would be the most reliable or what car is available even. But then when it comes to whether you should pick the red car or the blue car, really, you should just pick what you want. It's not a matter of praying. If God wanted you to know that you should always pick the blue one, He would have put it in the Bible. What about picking a spouse? That's a huge one. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, marry a fellow believer. And you would also say, marry someone who's like-minded. Well, what does wisdom say? Do you have similar likes, interests, hopes, dreams? And then what? Well, pick the one you want. Pick the one you like best. Pick the one who loves you back. Pick the one who laughs at your jokes, obviously. This is just a simple version of a very complex situation. But the key for you to know is we're all led by the Spirit all the time as true believers, and God gives us lots of freedom. Stay within the boundaries that the Bible and godly wisdom has given to us to make your decisions, and then rejoice in the freedom that God gives you to choose the best thing. So that's a great way to not just be a hearer of God's word, but to be a doer of God's word. And that's what we're about on Integrated. We will see you next time.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.